It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
That'd have been a seafood shed.
And speaking of Ed's Seafood Shed, we got Nick online. Nick, you with us?
Fabulous Nick DeMario.
I don't know if I'm fabulous, but.
Yeah, you are when you get in the darn kitchen, man. You are the chef extraordinaire.
No, Pete is that guy.
No.
I'm just peanut butter and chocolate running together in a hallway creating a Reese's.
No. You make some people believe that, but I know better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do a great job. And I just can't believe all the stuff you guys got going on with your, you know, with all your rusters, especially Ed's.
Yeah, I mean, Ed's has been just a fun time. And, you know, right now, especially, it's like, you know, Gulf Coast seafood with soul, like our sign says out front. You know, today someone came in and they got the blackened catfish over grits and greens. And the lady was like, man, I just never had a bowl where it was all layered on top of each other. And I said, is it good? She goes, do you see any left on the plate? I said, well, I guess it was.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. I know Cal and I were in there the other day, and he had got him to fix one of those specialties that you had fixed before. That's with the oysters on the greens. And somebody said, what is that? And then they looked at it, and he took out a taste of it and says, I'm going to see if they'll fix me one when I come back over here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about the restaurant business and what we do. You know, we have multiple brands and different concepts, what we do. And different menus. Actually, when Pete goes to compete, when he goes to the Food Network, and he's been on a ton of them, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Triple G, I think he's been on like 18 of them. It's kind of crazy. He's actually been on probably more than most. And sometimes when he goes to compete, we were talking about it the other day, he said, just think about one of the menus and the multiple things that you do, especially when they give you a basket of food and go to create. And when he does that, he usually wins. So we're all hoping he gets back on the show this year, because it's a good luck. When he gets on a show, we have good luck. And this year, it's been a tough year, and everything's been heightened awareness in a lot of different ways. But, you know, we're in a hospitality business. We get paid to have fun and deliver fun through food.
Well, you're doing an awesome job with it, with your food and all. The servers and all, and your managers that you've got at the Ed's are just, you know, I keep talking about them and what a great group they are. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. If the truth hurts, then so be it.
Yeah, we're a work family. We're always, you know, never satisfied, trying to push. We try to put real food in our food and you know, make strangers friends through food. And I think what we try to do is, as young, old, whatever it may be, is you know, just try to get better every day in what we do. I don't care if it's, you know, keeping someone's glass refilled, just the small details of what's going to make them, you know, say, hey, did they remember your name after you waited on them, or did they just say it was a good meal? When they remember your name, you've done something.
Right.
And that's
right.
What we try to do with just tiny things every day as far as all of our brands. I mean, Panini Pete over in Fairhope has been, you know, iconically considered one of the best sandwich shops in Alabama. 100 things you got to eat before you die. Sunset Point, AL.com, one of the top new restaurants. Squid Ink, Mayor Mobile said we redefined the food business down there as far as flavors and what we do. But that's food preparation and a lot of work and a lot of people involved. It's
right,
not a one-person
right.
decision. We really try to work hard at putting real food in our food, and then, of course, never meeting a stranger. That's every day trying to talk to people and make friends through food and drink and make things a lot easier than what's been going on lately.
Oh yeah, this is 2020 year, is one that we certainly want to put behind us and throw a cover over it. I don't even want to look back on it.
But, hey, we're the greatest country in the world, and we'll be resilient, and we'll come back even stronger.
Whatever, yeah, we're going to make it work one way or the other. I mean, we might get slapped down three or four times, but, you know, as long as we got a little bit of strength, we're going to keep standing back up and say, come on, give me some more. Is that all you got?
As long as the car doctor's on, then you got to call and talk about what's going on with these cars. We're good.
Yep. Absolutely. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, listen. What about Ed's and the Christmas holidays and New Year's holidays? Are anything special over there?
Oh yeah, you can get gift cards. One thing with our gift cards is we use the same point of sale, Toast, and you can use your gift card at any of the four locations. The only place you couldn't is our Mofftown proper, our barbering salon. You've been there a few times.
Oh yes.
They have their own gift cards. That's down on Ann Street. But, yeah, you can book parties. You know, we're keeping them small as far as, you know, what we're allowed to do. You know, tables of 9 and 10, not to exceed that. And there's a lot of people coming.
Right. It is. I noticed that we was over there late the other afternoon and noticed that it already started coming in and having their parties and all, you know.
Yeah, it's a great venue because, you know, you get to look at that view out there. Actually, few of the alligators are laying up on that grass pretty large last week, just laying outside my office out back.
I saw that. Yeah, they're sitting up there waiting for somebody to, you know, stumble off of the back porch or fall out the window in your office.
Don't feed the alligators.
But, you know, back in the day we did. We fed them the cornbread, our, you know, hush puppies.
No hush puppies. Our hush puppies and fried cornbread are too good to give away to an alligator.
That's right.
Yeah, but the kids would just sneak them off the plate and run out back and throw them off of the back porch.
Once you feed them, then they're never going to go away.
Oh, I know. Yep. Yeah, they're going to be there all the time.
And they're going to creep up a little bit more and a little bit more.
They get a little bit braver and a little bit braver every few days, every few weeks, you know, get closer and closer. But I see you've got some good wire put down there, Dale, so we don't have to worry about them getting in, though.
Yeah, safety is key, man. Safety is key.
All right, big guy. I tell you, and your daughter's doing okay?
She's doing good. She's doing good. She's back to school, and we're all doing good.
That's awesome, man. I tell you, this sickness we had, I lost two of my buddies here this past week, and both of them was a hell of a lot younger than me, but both of them went down with the COVID. And
we've had a lot of people, you know, looking in the rearview mirror this year. It's been a whirlwind of folks that were part of our families that have left. Pete's mom, Pete's mother-in-law, my mother-in-law. Just crazy time of the year. Nothing like it. But hey, I was thankful to know all of them. They influenced all of our lives, and we will miss and love them.
You mess that for sure. I've lost my oldest sister and my youngest brother here this year too.
Yeah.
And
we got to keep marching on and do what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Through food and friends, right?
That's
right. Keep it positive. Keep it going, and at the end of the day, give a good laugh.
Amen.
And we know we've done something.
And you know, and ask the good Lord to take care of us and see if He won't give us a few more days.
You got it.
All right, Nick. We appreciate you being on board, brother, and you guys do an awesome job over it. Ed's Fandabulous Seafood Shed.
Y'all have a great night.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Nick. Philip, how much time we got here? Just okay.
A minute and a half.
That works.
Let's tell us about what you did at Snowball Derby.
We're going to get that out of the way.
All right.
The Pressure Brothers team with J.J. Day driving won the Outlaw.
Oh, my Lord.
Fast qualifier.
And y'all made it through Tech at the end.
Made it through Tech, no problem.
Well, you wasn't cheating then.
No,
because if he was, Ricky Brooks would have found it.
there's nothing on that car that I'm worried about them looking at.
There you go. So, look at everything twice if you want to.
Anybody that knows me knows I build a legal race car, but I build a fast race
car. Right, right.
So it's a different deal. But the neat thing, all the four local classes that run over there, in Pensacola, we're all won by Mobile drivers.
That is awesome. Yeah. Yep.
So we had Daryl McDonald in the Pure Stock. You had James Patrick in the sportsman car,
right?
Grant Thompson in the
pro
truck, and
that
JJ
is so
Day
cool.
in the Outlaw.
So. That is so cool.
Yeah,
Mobile went to the front.
Yep,
I believe a buddy of ours used to call that up front racing.
Oh, well, we've always liked going over there and taking their money and bringing it back.
Bring it all, yeah, bring it back across state lines. You know, sneak back across so you don't have to pay taxes on it.
That's right.
Yeah, stop and get you some lotto tickets while you're there.
Yep.
Go to the liquor store, buy some cheap booze.
But, yeah, we had a good car all weekend, and we had a great showing.
That is awesome. I congratulate you and your team and all of the guys from the Mobile area, because I've been there. I know what it's like to go over there and to win one of those races.
Yep, absolutely. It sounds like we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Roll on, family. Roll on, crew. Roll on, mama, like I ask you to do. And roll on, 18-wheeler. Roll on. Roll on!
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remco, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. And let's see, we do have a text here. How much should a training flush cost at 40,000 miles on an odometer? Well, the mileage doesn't matter on the cost. It really depends on what kind of car, but a typical, you know, rear-wheel drive car that you're going to, you know, drop the pan, change filter, and put back together, as long as it's nothing really fancy on the fluid, you're probably somewhere in the 100.5 to 175 range, you know. Now you got some of these things that you'll have more than that in fluid in them, you know.
Well, that was where I was going. I was right. I know you were talking about rear wheel drive. Now, what about the front wheel drive?
Well, in some of those, you can do a drain and fill, but you know you can't service a filter and any of that kind of stuff because the only filters they have is an internal filter. So it's it really depends on the car. They're all a little different. You know, and some of these things, the fluid, you may be paying, you know, $30 a quart for fluid for it.
Really?
Yeah. So we've had some fluid that was, you know, more than that. I mean,
but not on the cars that y'all sell.
No, I mean, some of our stuff, it can get up there at times, but it's, you know, that's as it's out and more prevalent, you know, the price comes down, obviously. The stuff that's in the 8-speed transmissions. At one time, we were paying a big price for it, but it's come down. It's reasonable now. Yeah. So.
Well, that being said, you certainly don't want to go somewhere and buy some. I can't say cheap because nothing is cheap if you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Economical or more economical priced fluids.
Right.
You specifically need to stay with the exact fluid now that your service manual, your service book calls for.
Well, fluids are a very critical part of a transmission now. Where it used to be, if you had a Ford, you had a transmission fluid, and everything
right.
else
yeah.
you used,
yeah.
you know, a different one. Yeah, that's not the case anymore. Whereas even like our 8-speed stuff that had some shutter problems with converters early on, they've fixed that with fluid.
Really?
It's the type of fluid that you're putting in.
So the additives, you know, they're starting out with a base fluid, and then they're adding specific
mm-hmm.
additives
right.
and chemicals in it to make stuff act and react different.
Right, right. And it's all about the fact that, you know, torque converters don't lock up 100% anymore. You know, they've always got some slip speed to them. They're disengaging and re-engaging in between each gear. They're doing a lot of different stuff.
Well, they're not doing this with pressure, fluid pressure, and torque speed as much as they did in the past. Now they're using RPMs and electronic
Yeah. Well, the big thing is they're using it's all electronically controlled instead of a valve body controlling it just through fluid pressure, you know, and spring rates and all this kind of stuff in the valve body. The best thing they ever did for us techs is they put a computer in there to control the transmission. You know, the old transmission men.
That didn't do nothing for us.
The older transmission guys, they didn't like it.
Yeah.
But
now we sure didn't.
But, you know, back in the day when you had to go in there and know exactly what each valve did and what spring was supposed to be in there, and it had to be spotless. Now, everything still has to be clean. All that stuff has to still be there. But your real shift points and all that kind of stuff is controlled through a computer, and it's not controlled by a vacuum line and an adjustment on this and that. Now, you know, the old school stuff, that's all pressure controlled, you can modify them way easier.
Oh, yeah, a lot easier then.
But that being said, with the electronically controlled stuff, you can modify them without even going in the transmission.
You do it with a computer. With a computer with the right software.
Now, you know, we can't do that on a car under warranty because it voids your warranty. But there's a lot of people out there that are doing programming that, and you'd be amazed how much difference you can make and the power you can get out of a car by doing some tuning. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's you can take a car that's putting 300 horsepower to the ground, and you may end up with 450. You know, by the time you get through just doing programming,
good gracious,
it's just crazy. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm bringing my daughter's Z car out there, her Corvette tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she knows more about the darn thing than I do. And she said it probably had learned the wrong program for the transmission in that she was just driving it around town and going through all of the stoplights rather than driving it out on the interstate.
Yep.
Now, are you telling me that computer is smart enough that it will program itself?
It is a self-learning, self-adapting transmission. So, yeah.
Well, what the hell does it change? What does it change?
It changes all the shift points. It changes the pressures that it engages it, the shift times. It actually takes, and this pretty smart deal, it has an input speed sensor and an output speed sensor. Okay, so it knows when it told it to shift and how long it took it to shift. Okay.
Pause between the actual start and the culmination of finishing?
Right. So it takes that information and it says, no, that's sliding too much. Let's bump that pressure up, or let's change that to where it shifts faster.
I know there was a reason why I got out of that industry when I did. I am the old school part of this show.
Well, yeah.
I'm prior to 2000.
Yeah. You know, and it's I see the corner out there for me as well, because you know we're getting, and I just read an article today about General Motors pushing towards their all electric deal, especially for Cadillac, and they're actually buying some Cadillac dealers out that don't want to.
They got a lot of them. It's getting out of the business. Yep. I think they said, 1,800 of them or something.
Well, there's,
like that.
It's like out of 4,500 Cadillac dealers.
Okay.
There's like 150 of them.
Oh, just that's all?
Or about 3,000 Cadillac dealers, and there's 150 that are going to get out. But they're buying out, getting bought out because they don't want to spend that $200,000 for the facility upgrades and training and stuff that they got to have to be a dealer with electric vehicles.
And, well, you'd have to get in all the new electrical charging facilities and all of that. Plus, I'm sure you've got to have a new contact back to some engineering plant somewhere so that for this first few years you can hook up the diagnostic equipment and go on the internet, and an engineer in Slobovia or whatever tells you what's wrong with your car in Mobile. Like way back when they started messing with y'all with BMWs when they come out.
An
engineer in Spartanburg or somewhere, wherever he was at, was diagnosing the car problems because they just had so many new ones out there, so many of the new pieces of equipment. But you know, that's the way they learn, and that's the way they fix it.
Well, you know, and you have to you just have to go and play the game. You know, you got to get out there. You got to dive in. Do your homework. You know, do the training, and get out there and work on one. Right. You know, and just start learning from there. You know, it's you won't ever know it unless you get out there and try it.
Right. All that being said, do you have any idea, or have you had any pre-technical information on the electric cars versus the cars that we're currently seeing? As to, are we going to see a totally different type of drive pattern, like the transmissions, or are we going to have transmissions? Are they just going to be electric motors at each wheel, or will they be electric motor at maybe two wheels, and or what? I mean, what are we? I'm hearing all kind of stuff.
And it really depends on the car and the package. You know, there's really no need for a transmission.
I said that, then I thought, oh, you don't need a transmission. You got electric motors.
Right, and now our hybrid stuff does have a transmission,
right?
Because it's using a motor and an electric motor, a gas burner and an electric motor to drive the vehicle, and the electric motor is actually built into the transmission, so uses that to cool it and control it and everything. You know, it's kind of a neat deal, but the cars that are all electric, you really don't have to have a transmission. You're using, the motors connected to most of them are front wheels. Depending on the car, it may have up to three motors. Most of them use one for each front wheel and one for the back. But you would be amazed how much power these things put out.
Oh, it is. It is unbelievable. But what about the longevity of the motors? I mean, are we going to see a period of time before they have to be replaced or anything? You have any prior knowledge to that?
Well, we've had, electric motors, driving these vehicles and the hybrids and stuff since at least 07 or 08 when the Yukons came out and Tahoes came out with the electric version or the hybrid version. But they also had some other versions before that. I can't remember ever replacing the motor in one.
Really?
Now we've had some batteries fail. Yeah. But it's usually like 10 or 11 years into the life of the vehicle.
Yeah.
We're just now... in the last few years, we replaced a few of the Yukon and the Tahoe hybrid batteries. But those vehicles, like I say, they were 07 and 08 models. So they
probably got 300,000. A lot of stuff out there might even have 500,000 miles on it.
We've had a couple that had over 200 on them. We've had the motor have to be replaced before you've had to do anything with the battery and the electric motors and the transmissions, any of that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
On an electric motor, the big wear factor is the bearings.
Right.
On each end, because nothing else touches on the inside.
Yeah. If you keep them cool, they generally run a long time.
Well, and with all of the exotic oils and synthetics that we have now, we shouldn't have any bearing trouble. Because they're going to put a good bearing in there with a good grade of steel.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to have to go back into it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenues chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had...
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I know when I walked outside this morning, it was kind of cool out.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be cool again tonight.
Yes. So
I hope everybody has done what they're supposed to do and get their cooling systems checked.
I do, too, yes.
And now I have noticed that not everybody's gotten their batteries checked and all that, because I've seen a bunch of them come in with dead batteries over the last couple of days.
Well, you know, Kevin, my son talked to me from over at Pensacola, and I think both mm-hmm. batteries went out in his vehicles. Yeah. But, you know, I just asked him a simple question. I said, do you remember when you bought the last battery? No, I don't think I bought a battery since I bought this car.
Yeah.
You know, I said, how long you had the car? It's about 3 years or so. I said, okay.
It's about time.
You know, your batteries are about a 3-year deal now. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they would go 4.5 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And you could get a longer life battery. You could get, you know, better acid or more acid capacity. And they had different plates in them and all. Well, we don't even have plates anymore, you know?
Right, right.
You know, we've got little canisters or baggies mm-hmm. of stuff in there now. But that stuff don't break and mess up like the old ones do, either.
Right. It doesn't break down
right.
like it used
yeah.
to.
You don't have the, you know, maintenance problems out of them that we had way back there. But
right.
you're talking about your checking the coolant and all in the cars. If somebody's got their own little coolant checker now, what figures should we be looking at now? What are you guys seeing in the industry?
Well, I mean, typically if a car is done like it's done at the factory, you're going to be somewhere in the 20 to below range.
Okay.
You know, after it gets a few years on it, you know, you'll be 0 to 10 below, and that's plenty. That's plenty for around here.
Okay.
If you're going up north, you may have to get a little more.
Well, if they put newer fluid in it, coolant,
yeah,
then it's gonna bring it back to 20 or 25, 30 yeah. below.
That's about all you're gonna get out of your protection.
Right.
At that point, you got to crank it up, start putting cardboard in front of it, and start blocking the grills and that kind of stuff to keep heat in.
Well,
when you park it, you got to plug it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard also that some people would rather, rather than just put half and half, I'll put more coolant in than mm-hmm. I will water.
Right. And that doesn't really work, you know, because it's only going to make so much protection.
Period.
And for it to work properly, you need the water in there, you know, for it to work properly. So you can't just do straight antifreeze. It doesn't mm-hmm. do you any good.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it'll be protected. It's not going to freeze before about 20 below, but it's still going to be a 20 below system. It's not going to be, you know, 40 or 50 below. Yeah,
I've seen racers that tried to, back in the past in the years when they were having a heat problem with their motors, they try to run just straight coolant
yeah.
and not water, and that was the worst thing you could do, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, of course, the racetracks really frown on you running antifreeze in your
cars. Oh, yes. That's the slickest stuff you have ever seen. That stuff gets on asphalt and on those rubber tires. Shoot.
Yep.
It's like stepping on a banana peel.
I won a race one night, blowing up a motor.
Woo!
Going down the back straightaway at Mobile. It was the first race of the season. Motor was a little old and tired anyway, but I run it. And
running
good.
Running hard. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, they are. They do run good just before they blow.
Well, it dropped a valve going down the back straightaway, and it dumped every bit of the water out of the radiator.
Ooh.
Well, I had antifreeze in it for the winter,
yeah,
and I didn't think to drain it out and put just water in it.
Oh, my Lord.
And the only reason I won is because nobody else made it through the corner. it missed my tires.
Hey, we had a big race down there. We had a big race at Mobile one time, and my car was like second or third row, and he blowed a radiator hose going down the back straightaway
mm-hmm.
and going into turn three, and all of that water and coolant went on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't wreck, but everybody behind him did.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there, down there was PO'd at me, man.
Been there, done
well,
that.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't let that hose get off.
That's right. That wasn't my strategy, okay?
No,
so,
no. Yeah. I wasn't going to win on the first lap.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, that place can get slick, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but and we can't say the track is slick to start with. It's got gravel sticking up in it.
Right.
That eats the tires, even though both tracks have been ground I don't know how many times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mobile actually had.
Mobile's actually been paved.
It's been paved, but it's already the gravel and all is coming back out of it now.
Mobile's worse than Pensacola as far as eating tires up, for sure. It's, but Pensacola, it hadn't had any asphalt except for little strategic patches. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It hasn't been repaved since in the late 60s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So,
I wonder how thin that asphalt is.
It has no asphalt on it anymore. Yep. He's going to have to do it. I know everybody's been wanting him to hold off because it makes for better racing, okay? But because as soon as they pave it, it's going to be a one-groove, high-speed. It's going to be fast.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a one-groove deal, yeah, until they get some wear on it, right. You know, so – Mobile went through the same thing when they paved it. It was incredibly fast, and you couldn't hardly rip the tires loose from the racetrack, but you couldn't get around anybody because everybody was stuck to the racetrack.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it was. It took it about a year and a half or 2 years to get to where you had some halfway decent racing again. Yeah.
Well, if you were going to buy an electric car, would you buy an electric car now, or would you wait till they get a couple more years on the electric cars?
I really have no problem with the technology right now.
Okay.
You know, they're.
Do you feel like that we're getting enough experimentation and enough mileage on the vehicles prior to coming out on the highway to get the bugs out of them? You know, back in the early days, we didn't want to buy a car or a new type motor or a new type transmission. When it first hit the street,
yeah,
we wanted to wait a couple of years until they got all the bugs worked out of it. No, but with the dynos and chassis dynos and all that stuff now, I don't see us having that problem.
Well, you know, one thing I feel like they have done with electric vehicles is them knowing that it's new technology and they're trying to build the confidence in the consumers that this is the way they need to go. They have spent the extra time, the extra money, and extra precautions to make sure they're putting a quality product out there. You know, they've not worried about making money off the vehicles. They're making sure that they're building a vehicle that's going to run and stay
yeah,
running.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, we have had very little trouble. We've got one of the, I think it's 2012 Volt. That is a hybrid that we've been using for a courtesy vehicle for, well, since it was new. So 8 years, and it's got over 100,000 miles on it. Never done a battery. You know, we've done all the updates on it. You know, they send out updates and that for the car and program and stuff. And we've made a couple minor repairs, but nothing to speak of, you know, for that kind of mileage and that. So, and it's still a nice little car. Yeah, still does well. I mean, the biggest drawback with those is they didn't have a very long distance capability with the electric only.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But the motor kicked in, and you just drive it just like a regular car.
Yeah, but it's got the car with the – well, what is the motor and all with the gas and all, and the electric motor, I guess it's probably a 300-mile car or something.
Well, I mean, with the gas, you can drive it as far as you want to.
Just keep putting gas in it.
Just keep putting gas in it, you know.
Okay.
And it was it's a deal where it's basically a generator that creates power to run the electric motors, because you're still using electric motors even after you run it on the motor, you know, but you're just not using the batteries to do that.
Whoa, back up now. You've got a generator that the motor is running, the generator that runs the motors,
mm-hmm.
the electric motors that power the car.
Right.
And then when you flip it to the battery and you go to a battery deal, so then it runs does the generator develop power from that, or does the motors just run off the battery?
Well, when you're running strictly on battery, basically if you charge it up and it's good and charged,
okay.
It's going to run strictly off the batteries until they get down to a point. Or if you go wide open throttle and you know, calling on it for as much power as it
can
make,
because
it'll use electric motor and the gas burner to make power. Okay, which also means that, I mean, we're going to be looking at a hybrid Corvette before it's over with. You know, we'll have the electric and combustion motor in it, and when you do that, you can make some incredible power.
Unbelievable.
You know, Ferrari's been doing it. There's a bunch of exotic cars that have been doing that because they've figured out that, okay, we've got this motor that's great. It makes 600 horsepower, but we want more. Well, do it hybrid. Put a battery pack in it. you can add 200 horsepower to it that quick, you know, anytime you want it.
Now, do they have to have a transmission in those cars? Or here we go again. Are we just running off the
electric
motor? It depends
on how they're doing it. You know, some of them actually have electric motors in the transmission, and some use the motor as just a generator, you know. So it's not directly hooked to the wheels. It's running a generator, which is creating power, which is, you know, spinning
the
wheels.
Where are we going to activate the brakes at on these electric cars?
What do you mean activate?
The brakes, are they going to be in the motors?
Well, you know.
Are they still be on rotors?
They'll still be
like we have now.
I feel like we'll always have a brake rotor and pad combination somewhere. It's just like the Bolt. It's all electric. Great little car. It does have regular hydraulic brakes on it. But you don't realize that you're not using those hydraulic brakes when you come up to a stop until you get almost stopped and it never quits rolling. You have to push the pedal down a little more, you know, because what you do when you put your foot on the brake, it's using those motors to charge the battery, which is slowing the car down. But then once it gets rolling so slow, it could use the motors to stop you, but then you're using electrical power out of the batteries to stop you versus putting power back in the batteries. So that's when the hydraulic brakes take over and grab hold to it and stop it. Yeah. Which also makes the brakes, your mechanical brakes work, you know, what last way longer.
Oh, yeah, they would last a lot longer, probably double the life of the brake system.
Yeah, or better, because, all they're really doing is just holding your red lights.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Bring you that
so
down.
So you don't really get a wear factor on the rotors as much as you have a clamp factor on the rotor.
Right.
Once you come to a stop.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, it's kind of neat, and it took a little getting used to driving the first couple times because I didn't realize that you don't really even realize that you're not using the brakes. You're just using the electric motor to slow you down until you get to the red light, and it hasn't stopped.
Oh, okay.
Moving the car.
So you just got to get on the brake a little harder.
Well, you just push the brake, just a hair more. Huh. Yeah, but... Okay. Anyway, sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
A little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remick, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of callers, we do have a caller online. And, caller, are you with us?
Yeah. Hey. I got a 2008 Toyota Tundra pickup that has the V8, the big V8. About a week ago, I had a light come on my dash. It was a traction control light, and it had a check engine also popped up. But I drove it to a relative's garage a few miles away, and he checked the code and told me it was a transmission code that he wasn't familiar with, and cleared the code for me. Anyway, I went to a transmission shop, and they told me I'd have to leave it for a couple hours, and I didn't have time. But I've been driving it now for about a week and a half, I guess. I've been over to Dothan and back in it and driving it to work at night about 50 miles round trip, and it hasn't come back on. Could that possibly just be a glitch in the computer or something? Or,
and normally I say no, but you know, computers can do what they want to do sometimes. It could be just a one-time glitch. And the downside to having someone clear the code is that there's no longer any information in that computer to lead anybody towards the issue. So at this point, you're going to need to drive it until it does set a code again. If it doesn't, great, you won. So
okay,
you know, if it does, then okay, the failure information will be in there, and you know, they'll at least have something to go on when they go looking to diagnose it.
Right. Well, that's what I was kind of thinking. I probably need to wait. I listen to you guys all the time, and I hear you say that quite often. But anyway, the thing's got about 285,000 miles on it. So,
about you're gonna run out of warranty here to a few thousand miles.
That's right.
Well, I got companies still calling me, letting me know that my warranty has expired. I need to renew it.
Oh, yeah.
I had two of them this afternoon since 4 o'clock.
Yep.
Hey, all right. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoyed listening to you guys.
All right. I appreciate y'all being on.
Thank
you, sir.
Thank you. But, yeah, it's and if you plan on taking it, I have no problem with someone reading codes and seeing if it's something that's, you know, simple enough, you know. But if your intentions are to leave there and bring it someplace and get it fixed, don't let them clear the codes.
Yeah, don't let them clear the codes.
Because, I mean, that's information. And we have it all the time. Okay, a car may quit on the side of the road, and it sits there with the flashers on. Well, it runs the battery down. It shows up. The battery's dead, so the codes have gone away. But when we jump it off, everything's working like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop that. Okay.
Right.
But you know, I do see quite often where people will go and get it checked or whatever, and they just get the code cleared and they didn't write nothing down.
You know. Well, here's the thing, you know, and I was talking about being old school and all that. But one of the things that I've learned is the fact that those little flashing lights on the dash are your technicians and diagnostic technicians that are on board with you all the time, mm-hmm. and they're just trying to tell you that there's something wrong with your vehicle. And you should get it to a technician that has the proper diagnostic equipment and knows what those codes mean.
Right.
Now, do they have them all in their head? Oh, no. You know, some of your probably top 10 or 15 numbers, you'll know exactly what those mean. But you can take that code and go back to the programs that you've got in mm-hmm. your computer. And are your if you've got sophisticated enough diagnostic equipment,
right.
and it'll tell you the area that you need to inspect,
right,
and see what's wrong with it. Otherwise, if it ain't broken, you can't fix it.
Right, right. You know, and all the codes do basically they give you a direction to go look,
gives you an area.
And you know, the nice thing about some of the codes, they leave what they call a freeze frame or failure records. So if the minute it pops that code, it's supposed to take a snapshot of the data, you know, that's going on at that point. Unfortunately, if it's a quick glitch that sets that code, it might not catch it, okay? But it at least gives the technician an idea of whether you were running down the road, whether you were sitting still, whether it just got cranked up and the motor was cold or whether it was hot. You know, what the runtime, how long you've been driving it when it finally did set it.
That's when it does save all of that information.
Right, right.
It takes a picture of the current info.
Right, exactly. And that's a huge help because, you know, sometimes we got to know when it occurred. Okay, we can't get it tacked up. Well, you know, I've been looking at it here in my stall. You know, well, okay, it acted up when it was running 65 mile an hour. Maybe I need to go run it down the road at about 65 and see what it does.
Right,
So,
you can do that. And it can tell what's happening because you've got that diagnostic equipment hooked to it.
Right, right.
Hooked to that computer that's on board. So it's mm-hmm. you're going to be able to read that technical information that it's developing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You just got to take all the information, gather everything up, look at it, and it should point you in the right direction, you know. Sometimes it matters more. And I was telling one of my guys the other day, it matters more which module in the car is reporting the codes versus what the actual codes are. You know, so say I look down the list of codes and it's a bunch of communication codes, lost communication, lost communication, lost communication. Well, okay. If all of them are reporting a lost communication, except one, that one is probably the one that's bad, you know, or something they're going to it because it didn't know that it wasn't
right,
talking.
Right, it didn't give you a signal of error.
Right, or it didn't receive the message from the other ones
that, and or send it. Yeah,
or send it.
Right,
because
okay.
it was asleep.
That would
at
be
that
a
point.
Real good sign, knowing that that each computer is supposed to be able to talk to each other.
Right, right, and it's you got to stop and look, and that's where the art form in this this business comes in, where you really just have to. You got to get in the mind of it and figure out what it's thinking, you know, sometimes.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Is all of the information that you guys have at the dealership on the internet?
It's not available to the general public,
okay.
All of it.
It's
mean,
on
a
there.
A lot of it is.
You've got to pay to get into it.
Yeah, trust me, we pay dearly.
Yes.
You know, to have the access to it. And, you know, a independent shop can pay to have access to
most
that same information.
They won't do that though.
It's a lot of money,
and
you've got to have a pretty high volume shop to make it worthwhile for you to have that information at your fingertips. And because there's other stuff out there that you can get that will get you close,
right?
You know, and you know, there's a lot of independent shop, and even when I was independent in that. I knew when it was time for me to stop and send it to the dealer that had the next step of level
right.
of had diagnostic the,
had the bigger
equipment.
Piece of equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that extra piece of information.
Looks
like it's time for us to just about call it a break, isn't it? Getting close in that area. But, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and stay warm because it's going to be cold tonight. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah. But, hey, it's
and if you haven't had your cars checked for winterization and getting that coolant all checked, if you get through tonight and it don't freeze or bay in the morning, which it shouldn't, be sure to get it checked. And to all of our first responders and all of our great veterans out there, a big hoorah.